Now back to Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on FM News 101.
And we continue our conversation with this weekend's select executive, Nitin Kahana, the CEO of MergerTech. And Nitin, we'll talk more about MergerTech in our next segment, but I want to start by sharing your story, literally coming to America with nothing and building a company. What was that like?
It was a fun experience. You know, most of us have had the experience where parents still live in a financial world, you know, where they think things cost as much as they paid for them. And so when my dad put me on a plane from New Delhi, we had a one-night stay over in Tokyo, and then I was coming to Los Angeles, and he gave me $50 U.S. as cash. And believe me, one-night stay in Tokyo, just eating food and so on, I actually just spent all my money. So I was about to get on the plane, and apparently needed to pay a $36 like airport tax or fee or something. So I thankfully was able to convince the lady at the airport to let me on the plane. Got off the plane in L.A., had to convince the bus driver to take me and my two bags down to the USC campus. Still no money, not even for a bus. And then had to borrow $400 from the international students person there until my aunt could wire her the money later that week. So really fun first day in the States.
So you arrived in the U.S. with a negative balance in your account,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
My goodness. Okay, so that's part of the entrepreneur in you, though, is you know, be able to talk your way through it and get through those situations, right?
Yeah, I didn't realize it at the time, but I guess those were my first three sales of my life. That's how we define it today as entrepreneurs. But, you know, the flip side of that is my family gave me a huge entrepreneurial upbringing. And so as long as I can remember, and my, you know, memories that go furthest back are all around what we would today call entrepreneurship in India. And clearly, I call them business activities. So I remember waking up at age 4 or 5 at 4 a.m. and going around with my uncles to different brick kilns where we sold wood and coal products to collect money. And so accounts receivable and cash flows were ingrained. So you just, you know, roll that story forward, so, you know, till I was 17. And every day there was some business activity that we were just doing with a family member. And it just becomes very ingrained in yourself and your body to behave that way, I think. And
when you arrived in the States, did you have a dream, though? I mean, tell us about that.
When I first came to the States, I wanted to be governor of California. That was the explicit stated goal since I was 13 years old.
Really?
That's the reason my parents were sending me here, yeah.
Okay. Well, that didn't work out, but you've done well otherwise, right?
Well, we did end up in the elections business and in the government elections business, right? And so we'll talk about that, I'm sure, what we actually did at Sabre. We did fine and actually found a greater passion.
Yeah, well, you had the passion for politics, and it led to bigger and better things, I would guess. Tell us about that. How did you, you know, really get the idea, you know, the genesis of Sabre? Where did that come from?
So, you know, I did my undergrad and grad school in industrial engineering at Purdue, went on to work for International Paper, and now we're talking about early 90s, 93, 94. I'm first year out of grad school working for International Paper, and what I realized was the move towards technology. And I realized that staying in an industrial engineering profession in an old school industry would probably leave me much further behind my peers, especially if I had entrepreneurial desires later on in my career. So made a massive change and actually took a kind of a demotion to go work for Oracle. So took a cut in pay and a reduction in responsibilities to start my tech career at Oracle in 1995. And after working there for about 4 years, I was 25 at the time, and my brother arrived in the U.S., and he was 20. And I looked at him and I said, well, what do you want to do? He said, I want to get an MBA. And I said, why? He said, well, I think I can make more money if I get an MBA. And I said, well, the way to make more money in America is to start a company. And so that's what we did. So the genesis of Sabre really was my brother arriving here. And now there were two of us who could step out and do something. And so we started doing the same thing I was doing at Oracle, which was consulting on high-end custom development projects. And we had a simple thesis, which was that we would start a company that would be a competitor to one of five other major companies, IBM, Oracle, Accenture, Bearing Point, and Deloitte. Now, those are very, very big names, and two guys starting in their garage in Chicago. But we really had a goal that said we thought we could do custom development projects a little bit better and faster on the $1 to $2 million projects than these other five companies. And that was the simple premise we started with in 1997.
Nitin Kahana from MergerTech joining us. And you'd mentioned when we had lunch a few weeks back, Nitin, that you focused on that because these were contracts that maybe the big players weren't interested in, right?
Actually, what happened was I think these were contracts in which the big players weren't interested unless they could keep the ongoing maintenance and support of the business.
Okay.
So what happened when I was at Oracle delivering on these projects, we saw that the clients were truly unable to take over the systems on their own. So what we decided as a differentiator was that we would go in and commit to training and helping the clients themselves learn what we were doing as we were doing it along the way, so they could truly support their own infrastructure and enterprise systems.
Okay, and you and your political spin on this was that you had developed a piece of software to handle the elections, correct?
Well, that came later.
Okay.
So in 1997, 1998, we were simply doing all kinds of projects for government agencies. And the funny story there is the reason we picked government is because between my brother and I, neither of us was a salesperson historically. And we looked around the room and it's two of us and we're like, well, who's going to sell? And so we said, you know, it's easier to sell to governments. Little did I know. Which, and if we had known, maybe we wouldn't have been such a big success, which is, I think, another great entrepreneurial story is if you know all the hurdles and risks you're going to face, you may never start a company. So sometimes it's just better to jump in with both feet, not knowing the kind of hardships that are to come. But yeah, so we got started literally just building solutions for governments because I was a fairly good writer, so I could write responses to these requests for proposals.
Mm-hmm.
But only after the 2000 debacle of the Gore-Bush federal thing in Florida, did we decide it would be good to get in the election space. And the lucky part, and all great success stories in entrepreneurship also have lucky breaks. Our lucky break was that we'd done a tremendous amount of good work for the state of Oregon, Secretary of State, and the first state in the country to procure a new election system happened to be Oregon. So we were here, we had done a great job, they procured the first one, we won that, and that really went on to establish us as the leader. In fact, the next 30 or so states who awarded, eventually one way or another, we implemented 25 of those states.
No kidding. Yeah. So it all started right here, thanks to the fact the state of Oregon had figured this out.
Yes. In fact, the state of Oregon, the Secretary of State's office had been pushing for a statewide unified voter registration system well before 2000. In fact, starting in 98, I believe Phil Kiesling was the Secretary of State then. And so they were ready to go to procure the system. As soon as the federal funds showed up in 02, they procured one and thankfully, we were the winners of that contract.
So. You're right. You said timing and a little bit of luck is what helped you in this situation. Yeah. And that's, I know, many entrepreneurs listening to the show would agree with you. Nitin Kahana joining us as our select executive for the full hour. We're up against the bottom of the hour break here. When we come back, we'll talk more with Nitin about the continued growth of Sabre, when it got to the point that he sold this company, and the interim. Obviously, we found out at the top of the show, he started making a movie, and also he launched a company called Merger Tech, which he is now the CEO of. We'll talk about his efforts to reinvest in the local tech community, that and much more with Nitin Kahana as a special edition of Business Briefing with this weekend's select executive continues after a break. Stay with us here on FM News 101 KXL.